Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? Out of all you're the only one in place. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, "Into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong. You held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything? Please they cover.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And welcome to the True Love Recipe. This is our topic for our learning lab. We hope you're in the learning mode and have tuned in to this program with a focus on examining sound approaches to finding a mate, do's and the don'ts, and the prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. This learning lab shares lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful and memorable, shall I say, wedding day and a fulfilling marriage contract with faith, affection, and peace and joy. I'd like to introduce to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, my good brother. How you doing?
Alaikum. Assalam to you, Rashid. Salam. Doing fine and well. And to our co-host, our beloved sister from the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, our sister Akbar. And to our radio listening audience, as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Khalila Akbar, co-host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday here on IWDM Radio. And we want those of you who are tuning in for the first time to know that, in fact, this is your learning lab, and we do ask you to bring it to the lab as you can ask questions and make comments on this platform, and also our email address, bringittothelab@gmail.com. Any questions or comments, you can leave questions or comments or there on Bring It to the Lab. Also, we are also aware of the fact that many of you tune into IWDM Radio and the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab by way of the Internet. And we would love for you to be a part of this learning lab. For you to do that, we want to just say you just simply need a sharp pencil or ink pen and some notebook paper. And we ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart to this learning lab, and so that you can call into IWDM studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the telephone number to IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. And if you have a question or comment, all you have to do is just press 1, and my engineers, starting with Rashid Salam, will notify me that you have your hand in the air. You want to ask a question or you want to make a comment. And also, for those of you who may tune in each and every Thursday and have very little to say, but if something kind of hits you tonight, resonates with you, Khalila Akbar and myself, we'd love to hear from you. And you could just call in and let us know in a general way or specifically what it is that resonated with you tonight on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to say that we do have a special, special treat tonight, as we have a very distinguished, outstanding couple that will grace us here on the Learning Lab and giving their marriage narrative. But before we get there, and all, I want to also say that this Learning Lab has a foundation. This is a prelude that I give each and every Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It's just to say that we don't shoot from the hip, just shoot from the hip in terms of disseminating information and education, that we have three sources that we use. The first source is Al-Quran. Al-Quran is the final revelation that Almighty God, Allah, has in terms for all of his human creation, the guidance in every aspect of life, including the sacred institution of marriage. The second source that we use is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. And in this instance, in living the Quran in the sacred institution of marriage in terms of monogamy and also polygyny. The third source that we use is the tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, in regards to the Quran and the life example of the prophet. These vital components comprise the foundation for disseminating information and education on this platform. And we want you to know that this is 2024, and we say, inshallah, that sometime later on this year in the 10th month, in October, we'll be looking at celebrating our 9th anniversary on Blog Talk Radio. It began all the way back on that sister station, AM 360, October the 13th. The year was 2015 that we launched the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So I do want to just do a little house cleaning tonight so that we will have an outstanding broadcast. We want you to know that we like for everybody to be in tune and show the utmost respect for our guests tonight. Outstanding couple tonight. We'll be introducing them in just a couple of minutes. Stay on point. This is the True Love Recipe. This is my own personal True Love Recipe tonight. And for those of you maybe tuning in for the first time, we're using the English alphabet from A to Z, 26 letters. We have a couple of qualities and characteristics we didn't get to last week, but inshallah we will engage our honored couple in terms of giving their insight and wisdom, and also Khalil Akbar, our co-host for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight. And we also inviting you to give your insight and your wisdom when it comes to these qualities and ingredients that are organic. They're natural, no artificial flavors or colors, and the natural preservatives that are designed to sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious, sacred institution of marriage. So we do invite you to call in, press 1, and to be a part of the Learning Lab. We won't go off target in terms of what the objective of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, no personal things or any things of that nature would not be allowed at all. So we want you just to understand that, stay on course, and of course we want you to be a viable participant in your Learning Lab. So with that being said, it has become a tradition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that we always have an overview, and for that, we have our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Khalil Akbar, from the Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina. Assalamu alaikum to you, Khalil Akbar, and how are you this Thursday?
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark Shaheed, and to the listening audience of Ibn Wahdeen Muhammad Station. We welcome everybody, and we hope, inshallah, that you will get something beneficial that you can use in your life and that we can make some connections tonight.
Alhamdulillah. So, Khalil Akbar, I know last week was, that I think quite a bit of information. So, inshallah, that for those who may have missed last week's episode here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, some of the highlight points that you captured. And we also want our radio listening audience to know that you can assess it in its entirety by going to Blog Talk Radio, typing in IWDM Radio, and you want to type in this production, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And I believe that this is the 18th of January, so that would have been January the 11th. You want to put that in also, and you'll be able to assess last week's production in its entirety. So Khalil Akbar will be giving us an overview on some of the things she captured. Back to you, Khalil Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Again, last week we were also talking about our true love recipe, and we were basically talking about being trustworthy, being truthful, and also unity. Unity stands out to me because how we were talking about having a vision for your marriage and making sure that that is communicated effectively, and also making sure that you and your spouse or potential mate have a plan of action in reference to building your lives together. We also had some very unique callers last week who contributed a great deal to our conversation, and we hope that, inshallah, that they will be able to tune in again this week and get some information that is valuable to themselves as well. Brother Mark Shaheed, he had an extensive a message for everyone last week, and it was basically sharing his thoughts and his commentary on what the true love recipe looks like and how he is building sustainable family and community life through IWDM Radio. And I'd like to say amen worth the theme, Muhammad, so we'll be able to resonate with that in our minds, that what he stood for in building sustainable family and community life. And he also shared some information on the views and the life of Imam W.B. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. And so tonight we're going to be also using that true love recipe that Brother Mark Shaheed has developed, and we are going to be, as he said, speaking with our guests and looking at some insights into their minds, their lives, and their perspectives using the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah. And that's it. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you so much, Khalil Akbar, for that overview for last week. And those of you who desire to get it in its entirety, you go to Blog Talk Radio, type in IWDM Radio, and also you want to type in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that would have been January the 11th. So you can get that in its entirety. Very, very important. And for those that want to get a little ahead, we will be going to the letter V. I think it's like V5. We're going to be looking at the qualities and characteristics that began with the letter V in terms of virtuous. So with virtuous, be in your true love recipe, you know, with vibrancy, be in your true love recipe. I hope you're writing this down. This is why when you come to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you should always have your pen and pad so you can take notes. Vibrancy, would it be in your true love recipe? Mm-hmm. With value, what values be in your true love recipe? You know, with versatility, I think that's the fifth one that we're going to use, and we always have some with the fifth one, versatility. With versatility, be a part of your true love recipe. The fourth one is vulnerability. With vulnerability, be a part of your true love recipe. These are qualities and characteristics in my true love recipe. They don't necessarily have to be in yours, but I'm going to ask the question, if it would be, why? And if it wouldn't be, would it truly be a true love recipe? So we are honored tonight to have our beloved brother Naeem and Zaria, his wife Majid, from the ATL there in Atlanta, Georgia. I was blessed to be able to meet brother Naeem at this past year's time to be grateful and having a conversation with him, and found out that he knew one of our brothers from the STL here. Our beloved brother here that once was, I won't say a transplant, but from out there in California, Rashid Salam, and began to talk about him and talk about some of the things that he actually did. And I asked him, was he married? And he said, yes, he was married, and in terms of 7 years. And so Zaria, his wife, and he are now in the ATL. And it was quite an honor to get them at the last minute to come on and be our honored guests and to give their marriage narrative tonight. And I want to just extend the greetings of peace to both of you, the Majid. Assalamu alaikum.
Mark, I don't think they're on right now. They haven't raised a hand or pressed one on the
Okay,
phone,
well, we so, need to. Naeem and Zarina, I need you to press one if you're on now. And if not, then we'll just... We'll do a few things here because they may be a little late getting on, but I know they're aware that they're on. And so when you see their number pop up, if you are on, press one so that your number will show up in the studio. I want to say this here in terms of while we're waiting for our guests to come on, that this learning lab is so very, very important. Just want to give you a little backdrop. It didn't start out as a learning lab on AM360 back in 2015. We actually had some additional time. It started out in terms of the vision I had at that time as a mini course on courtship and marriage, meaning like 90 days, if you will, 3 months. And some of you are aware of Munir Habil, Munir Habil Umar, that co-hosts with myself with Naeema Latif on the Female Solution there. And we started out in terms of looking at it as a mini course. Well, long story short, it really became very, very popular because the radio listening audience just loved the information, the education they was getting in this mini course. And that caused it or prompted me to turn it into a learning lab. Why is this so very, very important? Because of the social dynamic that now we are confronted with in terms of trying to find mates. Unlike in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet, where everybody lived in close proximity. Everybody pretty much knew each other. Some of us, you know, have been around long enough to have experienced that also, where oftentimes you found mates from those peers of yours that grew up in the same neighborhood that you grew up in, lived in the same neighborhood. They went to the same school. They actually went to the same recreation centers, whereas that their parents knew your parents and vice versa. And you played together. You did different things together. You would go over to each other's homes and everything. And it became like somewhat, if you want to say, extended community family. And so naturally what evolves is friendship. So a natural involvement in terms of relationship is friendship. And so this, when we look at in terms of courtship, idealistically, it's good to be able to go in having already established friendship. But realistically, today, in the social dynamic in which we live, that's not always idealistic. Realistically, that has to be developed in the courtship phase, you see. So we want you to understand that courtship is so very, very important. And we want to just say while we're waiting for our guests that we differentiate here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We don't use the word dating. That's not, for us, it's an Islamic term, because dating doesn't necessarily have a goal nor an objective. You know, not from Western society. A person could be dating for who knows how long, months, years, no objective to actually be married. But in Al-Islam, it is about courtship, and the courtship has an objective and the niyyah, your intention. What is your intention? Your intention is to be married. And so in courtship, what are we trying to uncover or discover? We're trying to uncover and discover in the courtship if, in fact, there can be a partnership. So dating different, whereas oftentimes it in Western society is to impress. But in Al-Islam, in terms of courtship, is to express. There's a difference between trying to be impressive as opposed to expressive. And so the emphasis is put on expressing. Expressing in terms of who you are, what you're about, what your goals and objectives that you actually have in life, and then that potential mate doing the same, and see if, in fact, that there is a commonality. And remember, any words that end in ality, this is a learning lab, so you'll be learning other things in the learning lab as we go along, is a play on the word reality. Commonality is very important because we want to look at the reality of what it is that we have in common. That's the reality, what we have in common, because we want to have the compatibility. And this is why Allah says that he has made for us mates from among ourselves of like nature. So likeness means commonality, you know, not only in terms of like in that regard, but you actually like that person and they actually like you. You know, there was somebody once that said not too long ago, you know, you got to love them, you got to like them. No, just think about your friends and how you establish friendship. There's something that you liked about them and there's something that they liked about you. We're just talking about platonic relationship in terms of establishing friendship. Well, Western society got it kind of twisted a little bit because oftentimes we hear, oh, that's just my friend. You know, Khalil Akbar, very important, you know, that's just my friend, you know, but they're saying it in kind of marginalizing the relationship, that's just my friend. Well, could it possibly be if it's a heterosexual relationship that you have that person possibly, potentially, could be a viable mate for you? You know, what do you think about that, Khalil Akbar? You know, here on Courtship and Marriage, you know, we want to really change the language, but also to change the mindset. Oh, that's just my friend. In other words, the meta message there is I'm just dismiss him. I'm dismissing her. But it's just my friend. In other words, I don't have any interest in them. We've been friends for a long time. And sometimes I think, you know, Khalilah, that we may overlook or look over perhaps a potential mate, even though the social dynamic has changed drastically. And oftentimes we have to look outside of our community for mates. Give us, what do you think about that, Khalilah Akbar? Because in the natural development, of relationships, and we've pointed this out for years here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, idealistically, you come in as friends. Realistically, that always don't happen. But what should develop in the courtship is establishment of friendship. And ultimately, that the natural progression is that if the courtship leads to a partnership, the ultimate goal is for your mate to become your best friend and you become their best friend. Khalil, give us some your thinking in regards to the natural development in terms of how important friendship is, and that's one of the qualities and characteristics in the true love recipe.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I think there is a distinctive difference between someone who you have as a friend and someone that you are interested in to get to know them as a friend with a potential mate for marriage. When you first meet someone, it doesn't take that long to be able to determine or discern whether that person's going to be a potential mate or just a friend. And I know for a woman it's very important that those conversations are strong in the very beginning, that she sees discipline, that she sees the ability to have the mindset to lead, that she sees the ability to be strong and be an imam of not only herself but the household. And anything less than that, for me, I know, automatically puts that person in a friend category, and they just stay there. And I think for a woman, it's a lot different. And everybody's different. I can only speak for myself, but I am very distinctive and selective. And when I decide in my mind that somebody's a friend, that's just all through my life, that's all they ever been. And I don't know, as you said, maybe we just put people in those categories. But based off the characteristics and the feelings that you have initially, it doesn't take long to determine. And not saying they may be a great for someone else, but just if that attraction isn't there beyond just a good Muslim brother or a good human being, then that's that. But alhamdulillah, I think it's a beautiful thing that.
Okay, we can't hear you. You dropped off.
She accidentally dropped Mark. So.
Oh, did she?
She'll be back on again. Hey, what's the three letters? What's three numbers for Naeem? You know the numbers.
Yes, it's the 510-798. I left those with you, Rashid.
I got them. I'm calling right now. Already called.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Khalil Akbar was sharing from her perspective. I think that what I'm saying is in terms of what naturally develops in courtship. You know, and I think oftentimes, and it happens too many times, that we potentially, when we look at it from the perspective that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually gave us, why one would marry, you see, and he said looks, or sometimes said beauty, but looks. And that could go both ways in terms of beauty, handsome for a man, beautiful for a woman. Wealth is another one, you know, in that regard. Lineage, social status is another one. And the fourth one, sometimes expressed in terms of piety, but really taqwa in that. And so the Prophet prioritize that. I think what happens is that sometimes some of us, we prioritize and we put certain things as number one. You know, back in 2019, I think Rashid, he has that, there was a workshop. It was an outstanding workshop. It stood out because the title of the workshop was Selling the Seven C's, not like the water, but the letter C, Selling the Seven C's from courtship to partnership. And one of those C's that Khalil Akbar was talking about in terms of chemistry. Chemistry. And oftentimes we may think of chemistry as, well, chemistry is a strong mutual attraction that two people have for each other. But also, oftentimes the how we see it is limited. In other words, some people just see it only one-dimensional, just from physicality, if there's some chemistry. But chemistry can be on different levels. For example, if in fact that you're a community worker, the chemistry for a potential mate could be that you find somebody also that's like you. They are a community worker. That can be an attraction, a magnetic attraction, because you both have that in common. It's not like, okay, well, I'm looking for somebody that is a community worker, already engaged in community service in the community. Well, that person is already involved in that way. It's not like you just in doing that particular type of work and you want to try to attract them to be like you, but they're already actually doing that. That can be a strong mutual attraction, or there's something that is shared in that regard. But oftentimes, in terms of chemistry, if it's physicality, it doesn't take long to say, well, there is an attraction there. But where should that lead? In the natural progression that we teach here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, to want to know something more about who you really are. Our physical bodies becomes a container for the real person, the real self, the real self. Because if we actually are attracted just only in terms of how one may look or appear, and we're not looking at qualities and characteristics, it is possible that we can overlook or look over certain people because they just didn't fit the bill. So it becomes, the question becomes, what is the gauge? What is the gauge? What's the barometer that we're utilizing for ourselves in making a determination whether or not there could possibly, potentially be a engagement in terms of relationship to get to know each other? I'm saying this because oftentimes, Western society influences our thinking in regards to that. And they actually dismiss. They dismiss friendship. Or they even dismiss the potentiality that friendship could be developed in terms of really getting to know a person. We often heard, even in the movies, to get to know me is get to love me. You know, but that's why we can't have really love at first sight. We can have attractiveness at first sight. We've said that many times here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You can have attraction at first sight. That's possible, very much possible, but not love at first sight because you don't know that person. That person doesn't know you. And we know that Allah is the source of love. And you understand, because it is a natural commodity, that it naturally grows, but it has to have the womb for growth and develop, and the womb for love to grow is in the sacred institution of marriage, where there's interaction, there is a working together, cooperation, collaboration, consideration, sensitivity, or
these things. This is Rashid. I was, I know you got dropped here, so I was just trying to figure out.
Okay, Rashid, you're on radio here, so I don't know what's going on here. You know, my guest is not on, and then my co-host got disconnected here. So we can't hear you live there, Rashid, so you might want to mute your mic while you try to make connections. Our engineer trying to make connections with our guests tonight and everything so that they can actually come on and give their marriage narrative. And hopefully we'll get Khalil Akbar back on tonight. So I'm just speaking about some things just in general when we talk about courtship and marriage learning lab. I just want to also say I'm looking at one to take this learning lab on to a higher level in terms of the insight from an Islamic perspective. I think this is so very, very, very important because to have and use the Quran as a foundation and as a source in terms of how it is that we perceive things. Our paradigm, our view of how we see courtship, Islamic courtship, the do's and don'ts of that is vitally important, whereas that we don't take Allah out of the picture, that Allah is a part of the marriage as he is the owner of the sacred institution of marriage. And so he should be the managing partner in that relationship. This is so vitally important because there can and will be differences that will arise in regards to that. So if both are God conscious, they should want to know, what does God say about this? And it's so very, very important. And one resource book that we use, I remember in the community when she stated that we should pray together, but we should also, in addition to praying together, we should read the Quran together. We should study together. We should learn together. And that enables us to grow together. So, yes, we need, you know, those who pray together, stay together, but it's more that it is that we have to do so that we are literally and figuratively on the same page in the same book. And the same book is the Quran. That's the book of guidance for us. So we're both looking to come from that platform, not from just the platform that it is that we have, you know, in that regard. That's why it's so important that in the courtship, in terms of the premarital questionnaire that Allah has blessed us to develop over the years, excuse me, that we get to know something about the person educational-wise in terms of even in terms of their pursuits, in terms of education. Is there anything that they still want to accomplish educational-wise? How often do they read? Do they read the Quran? Do they read the Sahih Hadith, the Sirah of the Prophet Muhammad, the life example of the Prophet? And are they studious? Are they a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad's language? All of these things are vitally, vitally important in terms of if, in fact, that's your position and disposition, that you would want to have a mate like that. And, you know, you have to be the person that you're looking for. So everybody is looking for somebody that is good. Even in the movies, everybody's looking for somebody that is good, even a bad person. They're looking for a good person. The bad man, he doesn't want a woman that will lie, steal, or cheat, you know. Then how long will that relationship last? And the answer is it wouldn't last very long. So we have to be the person that we want to meet. And if we want good, then we have to be good. And it becomes a role and responsibility that both have in the sacred institution of marriage. It's not one side. The whole of the creation was for just ends, you see. And so if we're thinking just one-sided, then this is not the Islamic way in terms of that. You know, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who's perfect above any mistakes and errors. We have to learn the religion, learn our roles, and learn our responsibility. It's not just one-sided, you know, and it's in the Quran. Many of us don't know it, never read it, never heard it. We've heard certain things, but that's all it is that we have heard, and we haven't gotten the whole story. That's what it used to say, wait till you get the whole story. Get the whole story. Get, in other words, like in Proverbs or the Bible, with all you're not getting, get an understanding so that you don't have to, say, rely on somebody to give you something piecemeal. Oh, is that true? I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. Let me, you sure, is that true? Okay. Well, I like that. Give me that. No. You want to, if you're a believer, you want to know what it is that God says to us, and he speaks to us. Whenever we read the Quran, it is Almighty God, Allah, that is speaking to us in regards to what it is that we need for guidance in every aspect of our life. So, Rashid Salam, can you still hear me? Rashid Salam? I don't know if he can hear me now. my guest is not on, and I lose my co-host and everything. So I don't know what's going on here. The priest of Hadi, if you're there and you can get in, can I have a mic check here?
I got you, Mike. I mean, I got you, Mark.
People
are dropping off, and I'm trying to text them back and tell them to get that call back in. I don't know what's Naeem is not on yet, and Belita hasn't called back in yet either. So,
okay. Well, you know, I hope that you stick and stay, because I did invite some special people to come on tonight, and I'm just going to. Cool. I don't know what's going on. Allah's the best knower. But I'm just going to go on with the learning lab, and ask you to stick and stay, and please don't stray away. We're going to take, at this point, Rashid, let's take a pause for the cause, and when we come back,
okay.
I'm just going to shift gears, and
okay.
I think that, pardon me?
No problem at all. I mean, it's a great timing for me and Sister DeVries to get the exchange places. So great.
So I'm going to ask you, our regular listeners, if you would stick and stay, please don't stray away. When we come back, we're going to just take a little different route tonight, but I think it's going to be enjoyable for you tonight in what it is that I'm going to go with in terms of Plan B, and it'd be some very, very valuable information that would be beneficial and useful to you tonight. And we're going to take a pause for the call, so you know I'm going to ask you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the call.
Thank you. and you give on me, you give on me elevation. Because
IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with your host, Mark Shahid, and Khalila Akbar, our co-host, and I don't know if she's been able to actually get back on. I guess we have some technical difficulties, even with our guest, Zaria, and also Naeem Majid tonight. I want to say that if you are listening in and you hear my voice, all you have to do is press 1. Majid, all you have to do is press 1 so my engineer can see you and can open up your mic. And the same way with Khalila Akbar there also. So I'm going to have another mic check with our engineer, and if not, we'll just proceed to go ahead with something else on the Learning Lab tonight. I have no clue as to what's going on, what's happening here. This is totally kind of mind-boggling, to say the least, but I'm grateful to those of you who were able to stay with us here, and hopefully this will be a beneficial Learning Lab to you tonight. That's what we say, that we plan, but Allah has already planned. Allah is the best of planners. So, Rashid Salam, do we have, I guess, do we have Khalila Akbar back or what? And if you're out there, what you have to do is press 1. If you called in on a different number that he can't recognize, if you press 1 on your keypad, then we know that you, in fact, are out there. And we can bring you into the queue. Rashid Salam, talk to me.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark Shaheed, and to the IWDM listenership. This is the preacher Abdul Hadi. And we do have I don't see Kalita, but I do see a hand raised at 314. 314-681.
Okay, let's open the mic.
Okay.
Please.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum. 311, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome.
And thank you. Same to you in your ways of saying that. My name's Ron Wilkinson. I'm an actual friend of Rashid. And I just happened to see the text and was able to join you for the first time in some many months.
Okay.
And you struck a chord, just said, when you spoke about from courtship to partnership. Because I think of not us so much. I think of the future of our young people. I work with kids who are kindergarten through fifth grade,
okay.
And I see a lack of care that boys have for girls and vice versa. I see girls fighting boys fighting girls like they were boys. There's no line between the two human beings as boy or girl. And I just think about the future of that train of thought where if we don't agree, that we're just going to physically fight. And it concerns me that, you know, my philosophy is if I hit you, then I quit you. Or if we get to a point where that is the case or that's how we resolve things, then we can't be together as he and she. So, so that's just, I mean, and that may be workable for some, but I just think about our children or your children's children, in my case, my children's children, and seeing this lack of care. They like each other, but it's a different person that they don't like, and they are totally against them and don't like them, and for no reason that really has any substance. They're looking at each other, don't like the way they look at each other, or they said, or they did, or they did this, or very irrelevant matter. So I'm concerned about the young folks. So that's the topic I'm going to put on the table for now, and parenting and parenting talking about that. That's my concern.
Yes. Excuse me again. Thank you so much for calling in and expressing that. What's your name again, brother?
Ron Wilkinson. Yeah, Wilkinson.
Ron Wilkinson. Yeah, thank you, brother Ron, for calling in. And just to let you know, I don't know if he informed you, but here on IWDM Radio, we also have a sister learning lab, and that is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It's the sister learning lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'm glad that you brought that up, and that's also a prioritization in my life in terms of our young people and how they are being brought up today, what they actually are learning today, and what the role and responsibility of parenting is. That even though this is a Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, because you did call in and express your interest and concern, and I think it should be an interest and concern for all of us when you talk about your children's, and some of us may even not only have grandchildren but great-grandchildren, and how they're coming up and how they are interacting with each other, themselves, even in the growth and development process, how important the sacred institution of family life is, and how important and significant is the sacred institution of marriage life, and what is the role and responsibility that we have. So, Brother Ron, we give on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but listen to this, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we have as parents. And at this time, I'd like to dismiss the misnomer that this is only the role and responsibility of the mother. It's also the role and responsibility of the father in these vital components that comprise the holistic human being. And this is where the problem actually is. And also on that particular learning lab, which is a sister learning lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we say that the role and responsibility of both the mother and the father is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, then their community. And we say, inshallah, which is Islamic terminology, but just simply put, God willing, with consciously regardful parents, knowing and understanding their role, being committed, obligated to fulfill their role and responsibility to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking and disposition that we have. So this goes back to your point, Brother Ron, in terms of valuing the family life. And so when we look at the statistics today, the statistics, depending on where you're getting your data from, America is at an all-time low when it comes to family life, two-parent household. And guess who's at the bottom of the rung? It's the African-American. That now, depending on where you get your data from, it could be 70 to 75 and close to 80% of all African-American children that are born in this country, the United States of America, that are born to and in a one-parent household. This is devastating. And so there is not the two-parent household for the nurturing and the cultivating that both parents are to share in terms of doing that. And also modeling the first 7 years of a child's life are the impressionable years where imprints are being made. Who do you think the creator gave that role and responsibility to? If it wasn't to the biological parents of those who are producing new life children. But if they're not present in terms in a positive way, a positive imprint, then our children still will go through that stage and somebody will be impressing upon them. And it could be negative. There's always a duality in life. But it doesn't matter whether they're female or male, boy or girl, they have to go through that stage. And in social science, it's called the formative years, where things are being formed in them. By the time they reach the age of 10, it is said about 90% of their personality has been already formed. The next 7 years is that of modeling stage, where our children naturally will look for a role model. Once again, duality. The reality is that the Creator has designed the parents, the biological parents, to be that natural role model to establish in their home life how they see the mother and father treat each other, how they see husband and wife relationship, how they see family relationship, the qualities and characteristics that are actually there that should be a part of their upbringing, oftentimes it's not there. It's absent, which leaves a big void. And when it becomes social media, television, movies, et cetera, what have you, then we can see how and why the mindset and the disposition and also the behavior of what it is that our children are actually taking in with no monitoring in that regard. And this, what it is, abnormality becomes normality or becomes the norm. So it's not, you know, it's not like rocket scientists, you know, that we see that these two sacred institutions that the Creator has established, and it's Almighty God that has established these institutions, they are sacred institutions because He has designed them for the growth and the development, the maturation for our children to grow in. It's like a womb. They come out of a womb, but coming into another womb. And that first social unit in human society is family life. But there's so many things that are absent that is there. We see the absence of love. We see the absence of care. We see the absence of consideration. We see the absence of respect, love, sensitivity. All of these things that we're talking about on the True Love Recipe, when it comes to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, these same qualities and characteristics are to be exemplified in the family life as well as in the sacred institution of marriage. I'm hoping that what I'm saying is making some type of sense in that regard. But we're not, for all today, raising our children, Brother Ron. You have something that you'd like to say?
No, it is. And I'd like to go back a little bit on this. I like the womb, and the first womb and the second womb. But I especially want to hear more about this age of 10 and the mind developing the personality that the person will be.
Yes. Well, in that, the is a word, tologist, anytime you have words that end in ality, it's a play on the word reality. Personality is a play on the word the reality of the person. Sexuality is the reality of sex. It gives any time you see ality. So the social sciences call formative years, whereas impressions are being made. The average child could recall maybe as far back as 4 years of age. But impressions are actually being made in those first 7 years on the child, whether it's positive or negative. There's a duality that's there. But the reality is that the parents and the Creator has given the mother the honor and distinction of being not only the first teacher, but the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but for our baby boys. And it is to establish a moral consciousness in them. If you notice, they always are telling them, no, no, no. No, no, no. That's good. That's bad. No. Don't do this. Don't do that. Boom, boom, boom. So it's building a moral consciousness that's actually in them. So this is actually building in terms of who this person will be. The lack of that in terms of having moral sensitivity, you understand, it becomes a part of the being of that person. Now, naturally, by nature, the Creator created human beings good. I know this is a little different in terms of Al-Islam as Muslim. We don't see the human being as being born in sin or being sinful, just being sinful. No. When you look at that baby is very, very innocent. And the baby has no desire to be sinful or any of that. But the nature of human beings is that it can be influenced. This is why all human beings are born true human, but it becomes their parent and parenting and their environment. What environment? Their social environment that makes them otherwise. So sometimes you can see human beings in physical form, but they act like animals. Why? Because of the environment. This womb that I'm talking about, which is the second womb that it comes from. I mean, you know, we all know the first womb and the baby inside the mother being fed through the umbilical cord, and even her environment and what she is receiving, not only in terms of physically feeding, but also mentally and spiritually feeding that child when it's on the inside of the womb. Well, that's the same thing in terms of the socialization and acculturation. There's a culture that's in every family. And it influences and impacts the children in what it is they see. You see, there's a word that in social science called syzygy, syzygy. But it's influenced by the relationship that is established in the family life, notably the mother and the father. As physically we have chromosomes and genes from both parents, but also male, masculine, and feminine qualities and characteristics, that there have to be a balance that's there, where the masculine respects the feminine in that regard. And so this has to be also demonstrated and exemplified in that sacred institution of family life. So it is just those 7 plus 3 years that social scientists have studied. They have actually studied and seen that the personality or the person in reality has pretty much shaped and formed, only leaving about 10%. And that 10%, as I gave the first 7 years, the imprinting stage, impressions are made. Next 7 years, the modeling stage. The next 7 years is the socializing stage. This is why, Brother Ryan, when we see that when children begin to get 14, 15, 16, 17, and parents began to try to raise them, there's a rejection. There's a rejection because they was not present in the first two stages of their life. So this is vitally, vitally, vitally important. And the only thing that... Yes.
They missed at the age of 14, and the parents tries to come back and
try to
correct
yes.
behavior.
That's right.
There's a period of time that was missed.
That's right.
Where that
and then oftentimes it's too late. That's
yeah.
right. Oftentimes it's too late at that point to actually correct. Now, what can happen in terms of social science is, and please take this down, is called SEE. It's an acronym that can actually alter or change the child's life or even adult's life. And a SCC means a significant emotional event or experience. A significant emotional event / experience that can actually alter your personality. You see, whereas a person, we've heard people that they turn their life around when they almost hit rock bottom. A significant emotional experience or event that turned their life completely around. Outside of that, you're seeing what has been socialized and acculturated in that child's life for the first two stages, imprinting and modeling. And the parent has been absent in both of them, or hasn't been positive imprinting nor positive modeling. You see, the sacred institution of marriage, one of the benefits of it is that it is supposed to model for our children what a real man looks like for a boy, what a real man and what manhood looks like.
Uh-huh.
For a girl is supposed to model what a real woman and what real womanhood, what real fatherhood looks like, what real motherhood looks like. Mm-hmm. You see, this is why we wind up with the hood, because we don't see real manhood, real womanhood, even now. We don't see fatherhood. There's a difference between a daddy and a father. If you're not impotent, you can be a daddy, but a father is a role of responsibility. So we don't see that. And so when you take all of this and familyhood out of the neighborhood, then you get the hood. You don't get the conglomeration of families, you understand, that actually value that sacred institution of marriage and family life. I hope that's making some sense here.
Remember how we got together?
Mm-hmm. I know my version.
Yeah, I know my version.
Well, yeah. I know each other's version when we actually got together, mm-hmm. but what led up to it. And I think it's real significant that, you know, that your daughter was with a Muslim man.
Mm-hmm.
They came over to my place, a Muslim's house, and just got to talk about whatever.
So, Brother Warren, I'm hoping that, you know, I know for some people that tuned in for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, but the question I think is a very, very important question, because there's a vital connection between parenting and family reconstruction, because the sacred institution of marriage actually is the institution that's supposed to carry forth the family life. And then we ask the question now, we're gonna love the babies, love the children when they come here. We can and we will. But we need to be concerned the connections and the needs of our children. Our children, they need the guidance. They need direction in their life. Where are they going to get it? I mean, who do we expect to give that to them? So when we see little boys, little girls, they fighting all the time, they hitting, they're cursing each other, they're name-calling, denigrating things, where do we think, did they come out of the womb doing that? Was there a proclivity in them to do that? I think, you know, if we do some deep searching, we would have to say no. The innocence that we see in a baby, in terms of that, even you'll get a smile from a baby when you take care of that baby well and you clean it up and you feed it, you hold it, you're nurturing, you're talking to your child, you're singing to your child, the mother nursing the child, looking the baby in the face. Oftentimes, one of the most beautiful things is to see that baby smile at you.
Yeah.
I approve of this. You see, but this what happens when they begin to grow up and what they're being impressed by, and the absence of those things that they should be impressed by. This becomes a part of it. When you talk about raising, say, I'm raising children. So what's growing in them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that word grow, you want to get rid of weeds. But if they are in an environment where that's all it is that they see, that's all that they hear, their five senses is taking in all the negativity and everything. What do we expect? You know. So, Brother Ryan, I appreciate you calling in, and I have the same interest, I have the same concern that you have, because eventually our young people will grow up. The one thing for sure, physically, that growth will continue as you grow up in terms of height. Then you may start growing out outward. But the question becomes, what is our growth in terms as a moral being? What is our growth when it comes to as an emotional being? Is emotional intelligence actually growing up in us? Or are we seeing, you understand, the lack of emotional intelligence? Because if morality is not a partner with, and rationale is not partner with emotion, emotion makes a bad leader in terms of what it is that we've seen today, even in our young people and even our older people. No control. The word emotions is energy in motion without a leader. You see, the Creator created everything in pairs, you see. And then is there a rational ability, intellectual ability to be able to discern, to be able to assess things instead of always wanting to fight it out, duke it out, take somebody's life? How do you get to that point? What is it, what are our children feeding on? What type of food are they receiving? And I'm not talking about only just the physical food is bad. You know, it's real bad. But even worse, the mental food that's going into our children's head. The spirituality, the type of spirit that our children have, how they've been influenced to think a certain way and to do certain things that maybe you and I, we would never thought to do those type of things because of how we was raised up with the love and respect that we have. And so we have to, on the parenting and family reconstruction learning, that when you think about any word that says re, that means do it again. That means that there was destruction in the family life. It has to be reconstructed. And it starts with, really, to be honest with you, God-conscious. God-conscious, I'm going to say it a third time, God-conscious parents. There's no connection today that our young people have with the Creator. And we just had this on yesterday, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So these are the ones that will become adults. So then now you take your pick in terms of marriage, marriageable material people that would be marriageable. You know, so we got a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do as an ethnic group of people in terms of disseminating and also information and education of how we are supposed to interact as family. You see, I mean, this popular culture, there's a culture that's out here that's void of morality, insensitivity, selfishness, individuality. You see, that's really hurting the fabric of the family life and also marriage life. I mean, I could go deeper and deeper into it, but I think that I've probably said enough in regards to that. I know that this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, but I would have been remiss if I hadn't responded because I heard it in your voice, the sincerity, the interest, the concern, the sensitivity that you have in terms of our young people. Many of them, they're not even thinking about marriage. It's like, let's just shack. Let's just hang out. That's their language. That's their language. Just hang out. It's like just hang out and just see what happens. Is anything going to happen? Mm-hmm. Not knowing and understanding, you got to be conscious, regardful. You know, there's, three people, they say, in the world, those who make things happen, those who watch what happened, and those who wonder what happened. Mm. And oftentimes we're in the we're in the ladder, we wonder what happened. We're not making things happen. And we're not watching the things that actually are happening as an observer. And we often have the question marks in our head, what happened? What happened to us? What happened to us as a people? What happened to us as morally conscious people? I can remember in my lifetime when you heard certain things that was in the news, we knew that wasn't one of our people that would do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
right.
We're in a different right. time to, you know, now. So that's an excellent question, interesting concern. I hope that some of the things I've said have been helpful to you, Brother Ron.
Yeah, I took notes, bro. I took notes.
Pardon me, I couldn't hear you.
I said I took notes. I have things to take back to
okay.
to the schoolhouse.
Good. Let me know. You're here in the STL. I'll give you my personal number, and if I can be a help to you in the school, you know, even making a presentation or anything, I'll be glad to do so. 314-435-7213. That's 314-435-7213. Give me a call anytime. If you don't get me, leave your name and leave your number, and however I can be a help here.
Yes, sir. And I know that Brother Rashid is also on that same 2-2 training. We can triple team them or quad, quintet, or whatever it is, and make something happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Ron.
You're welcome, bro. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Peace
I'm
be
a
unto
listen.
You.
I'll be, thank you, bro. Same unto you. I will be listening. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Brother Ryan, press 1 after you mute it. And the priest of Hadi. Alhamdulillah, that was Brother Ryan here in STL. And all. Do we have any other callers? Maybe we should just turn it into a Q&A. If you have any questions regarding courtship and marriage, I took Brother Ryan's question. It was not per se on courtship and marriage. But we got a kind of strange occurrence happening tonight that I have no clue, actually, what happened to my honored guest couple. And nor do I have it.
What are their numbers? What are their numbers, Brother Mark? Because I have a 510, a mic open.
Okay, that's good. Assalamu alaikum, 510, talk to us, please.
Well, I can ask Salam. This is Brother Naeem.
Brother Naeem. Alhamdulillah. You know what? I always remember what Allah says in the Quran, to always put the best construction around everything. And my mind has been going bonkers. Where is Naeem? Where is Zaria? Your wife, Zaria. Yes. And I was wondering, I said, where are they? That, you know, I thought that, you know, the information was clear and everything. So this is, I'm going to give both of you all to, both of y'all are together, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So we lost some of our radio listening audience, and I lost my co-host, and I don't know what happened. You know, maybe I'll have to find out later on. But I have you on, and I want to just thank both of you, you know, at somewhat like the 11th hour to come on. And I'm going to give both of you an opportunity to introduce yourself, your name, and who you are, how long you've been in the community, maybe say what you've done and everything, just something about your individual self. And then I'll just go ahead and then just start the interview in terms of your marriage narrative. And I just want to say to those of you who was able to stick and stay and not stray away, I think you're in for a treat tonight. and all, because these marriage narratives, the objective is for inspiration and motivation for those of you who may be on the fence when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage. I know that some people have been married before, maybe one, two, three, four, or more times, and maybe they have soured on the institution of marriage or became bitter as far as that. You know, maybe they didn't get better, they didn't learn something from it, but remember this, life experiences are really necessary in new growth. That's an acronym for the word learning. If you can use it, sisters, put it in your pocketbook. Brothers, put it in your wallet. Life experiences are really necessary in new growth or nurturing new growth. And one of the unique things about this couple is that they've only been married 7 years and in their late years in terms of their 70s. And I thought, you know, when I found that out, they would be an excellent couple because the fire of desire should never go out in terms of what it is that Allah has established for us. Allah will item Allah is the best knower. He knows and we know not. But this is why you should come to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and you should understand about the sacred institution of marriage that is part of God's will and plan. So with that being said, welcome, Majid. As-salamu alaykum. And we're going to always start with our sister first. Sister Majid, who are you? And tell our radio listening audience something about who you are.
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum. My name is Zarina Salameen Majid. And I've been a part of the community since 1968. I came into the Nation of Islam. I now have 12 children. I have 9 children that I birthed myself, and now I have 3 bonus children.
Okay.
And, which is 10 girls and 2 boys. This is my 5th marriage, and I always wanted to be married. So when my last marriage ended, I was in my 60s at that point, and I still wanted to be married. And so at the age of 68, I remarried my husband, Naeem, and we have been married now for 7 years. I'm a retired social worker with child welfare, and I'm currently an author of the book, Your Incredible Mind, How to Reprogram Your Subconscious Mind to Live Your Best Life. And that's what I'm doing right now, is still learning more about, about our mind, the gift that Allah has given us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. But thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, praise and thanks. That's an excellent introduction as to who you are, Zarina Majid. Yes. Now we're going to turn to our brother Naeem and let him give him an opportunity to introduce himself as to who is Naeem. Talk to us, Naeem.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Naeem Majid, and I have been in the community since, officially in the community since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married. This is my 3rd marriage. My late wife did pass away, and me and Zarina did meet in Oakland, actually through her, one of our daughters introduced us. They had happened to come by my house to do, he wanted to do a drum lesson. So I'm a percussionist, and I was going to give him a lesson when I met his wife, who is now my daughter. But after they were there for a little while, they just looked around and said, you know, I think Naeem should meet my mother. So that did occur. We met after about, well, we were told about each other, and then about a year later we met. I think Zarina was 68, and I think I was 76 or 75 at the time. So we did get married later on. We got married, and actually we got married in 2016 on April the 1st.
Okay.
And so I was, I came out from Detroit. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, but I came out to California in 1962, and I became, I was in school then. I was in college, and I was going to go back home when I finished, but I didn't. I stayed in California, and I've been in California up until last year. So I've been in California 60 years. I was in education. That's what I had gone to school for. And then I transferred in, and I got in transportation, where I did quite a bit of traveling. The company that I was with, I traveled all over the world, or a great part of the world. Came back after my late wife passed away. I just prayed to Allah to have a, to get a wife, because I was about being married. So when and my actually my prayers my prayers came to Allah, seemed to it that I met the person that I had asked for. I mean, you know, you ask for, you know, what you think you want, and you kind of put it out there, and that's what I did. I wanted a woman who was a praying woman, who was calm and peaceful, and who appreciated peace. I did, and that's exactly the woman that I got. So it was a woman, a woman of my prayers.
Okay, so, I'm going to stop you there. Because we're going to get into the marriage narrative and everything. So thank you so much, Naeem. You gave quite a bit, you know, in terms of yourself. But we want to kind of do this methodically, if you would, please. And my first question that I want to ask, and I always ask the couples that come on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, how did you two first meet, how you first meet? And here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we always say ladies first. We give the honor and distinction to our sisters to have the first say in terms of how you meet. And then I'll come to you, Naeem. I'll come to you and ask you the same question, because you might want to add something to Zaria. Comments in terms of how that was that you all first met. So if you could talk to us a little bit about your first meeting encounter, how did that happen?
Okay, like you told you, he happens to be our son-in-law now, but at the time when they were at his house, and my daughter called me after they left the house to tell me that she had met a brother, and she thought we'd be really good together and so forth. So I told him to set up a meeting, for them to set up a meeting. Well, that didn't happen. Because as I found out later, he was at that time talking to another sister. So it was about a year later, and we were at Eid celebration in Richmond, California. And my son-in-law happened to be talking to him, and he found out that he was no longer talking to the sister. So he brought him over to meet me. And so that was our first meeting. And we just spoke to each other, you know, talked for a little bit, and then, you know, and then we didn't see each other again until I think it was like 3 or 4 months later, and he had invited my our ex-son-in-law and my daughter to a birthday party.
Okay.
And he had said to my son-in-law, you know, if your mother-in-law would like to come, you can bring her as well. And so so they did. They told me, they asked me if I wanted to go, and I said yes. So that was, I guess you'd say, our first official meeting where we exchanged information, and after that we started communicating.
Yeah, Zarina. Sister Zarina, could you actually give us the year? You remember the year when you first met?
We met in 2015.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, and we got married in 2016.
In 2016, a year later. Okay, now, Naeem, now this is your opportunity. You heard your wife, Zarina, in terms of how you first met. Anything you would like to add to that in terms of when you first met? Well, anything that you would like to add to that? And also, while I'm with you, I'm going to stay with you for a minute here. When you first met, what came to your mind when you met your future wife?
No, I'll tell you exactly what came to my mind. It was she did say that we had met at an Eid celebration and we were out in the park. So that first time we actually met, there was a number of people who were out there, and it was a lot of activities, as you can imagine. And when we met, we did talk a little. We just kind of felt each other a little bit. And then I think there was something going on out there, a commotion, but a number of people started talking. And when I looked up, I just seen Zarina, and she was walking by herself in the middle of the park, but she was going out toward the water, I believe it was. But she was by herself, and she was just kind of grazing out by herself. And I thought, wow, that was peaceful. And the feeling that I got was, again, that was somebody that I felt a real calm, peaceful, introspective person walking, gliding across not going anywhere, but seeming like she just wanted to be to herself in thought. And that was enough for me, that it really interested me in terms of just the energy that I got from her, and it was something that attracted me. So that's what I wanted to add.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, that's that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you use the word just gliding, you know, so, you know, it's really, you're being very graphic, and that's beautiful, very picturesque, if you will, in terms of how it was that when you saw her and all of these things came to your mind, just showing the sensitivity. That was there.
Yes.
So obviously, I guess we can say that this was, in terms of an attraction, first attraction, that when you first saw your future wife. Okay, so we're going to go back to you, Zarina. When you actually first saw your future husband, Naeem, was anything that came to your mind, anything that was outstanding that you could share with us, the IWDM radio listeners? Was anything that was outstanding that kind of stood out that was attractive to you? Talk to Zarina.
Yes. He's a very intelligent person, very, worldly, in terms of his knowledge, and so that was attractive to me. And then he seemed to he had a business at the time going that he was that we talked about when we first met. He was telling me a little bit about that, and so I've been a person that's always liked being in business, so that was attractive to me as well. And he was very, very polite, very, was manly. And so those were the things that attracted me to him, is that, he would, as we started communicating and being around each other sometimes, he was always very polite and a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. So obviously that was an attraction, and I'm going to stay with you here for a minute in terms of just asking overall in terms of the courtship. So obviously there was a mutual attraction between the two of you, obviously, for different reasons, but still something in common that actually attracted you two to each other. When you began the courtship or the interest that was there, obviously in the communication, there had to have been some things in the communication in getting to know Naeem and he getting to know you that perhaps was said that maybe made him even more attractive. And that is anything that you can share, Zarina, in regards to Naeem, in some of your communications in courtship, while you was trying to get to know more about him and he get to know about you, anything that stands out in your mind that he may have said, oh, I like that. That was eyebrow raising, if you would. Serena?
I think most of with our communication, it was, he was very knowledgeable about a lot of different things. And so that was very attractive to me. Because initially, we were both interested in being married. He was a little bit more cautious than I was, I think. He was just wanting to be sure because, different things had happened in his life that he just wanted to be sure. And so we communicated and just start learning more about each other.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that's good. I didn't ask this question, but in terms of even physicality, attraction there, would you say from your perspective?
Say that again, please.
I say I hadn't asked in terms of even physicality, attraction there, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
okay.
There was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Naeem, going back to you. You meet each other. You've stated the things that was attractive to you about her and vice versa and everything. You know that that there's an interest on her part and then vice versa. And your wife just stated that you are a little bit more cautious, and of course, rightfully so, because sometimes the past leads us to be a little bit more cautious in that regard. But she did acknowledge the fact that you wanted to be married again, and so did she. That was upfront and everything. So from your perspective, Naeem, when you began to communicate with each other, anything that stood out in you getting to know Zaria? I guess your name a little mixed up here. In terms of how it was that you actually got to know her a little bit better and say, yes, I really, 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 really like that about her, and yeah. She became more attractive to you. Is there anything that you can share with that radio
listener?
Sure.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, sure. There was, I think, in our discussions, because we did have, at the time she was living, I think, in Sacramento, and I was living in Oakland. So there was, geographically, there was a little difference, about an hour drive away. So we did talk on the phone quite a bit. But one of the things that I noted was her... her sincerity and interest in our religion. So
okay. That
was one of the requirements that I had. Well, I say requirement, but it was something that I was concerned about prior to meeting anyone. I definitely wanted, a Muslim lady who was either Muslim or was quite interested in becoming Muslim. Well, she was definitely a praying woman. She had, at the time, she had 9 children, 7 daughters and 2 sons, and they were all Muslim. And so I was impressed. And they were pretty much, her family was pretty much, they were all grown. They were all grown at the time and doing well. And so I was also impressed by that. She raised these children, and they were praying women and men, and she was also interested in my relationship with Allah, and so I wanted her to be interested in my relationship with Allah, and that was really a binding aspect of my interest, and so to continue to pursue that, we did see each other. We had little rituals. We would meet each other sometimes halfway, and halfway between where I lived and where she lived, and we would have lunch, dinner, whatever. And that was, I thought that was nice, and I like doing things like that. It's kind of things that I would normally be doing, although, I'm a probably much more social person than she is. She's more private and quiet, and I like that. But, in terms of her stability, she's real even. So I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I can use that.
Yes.
So that was, and then I did meet her children. She met mine. So everything was kind of like, Allah was running the show. We both commented on that all the time, how the things that we were discovering about each other.
Right.
So anyway,
let me ask
like
you
that.
This here. I'm going to stay with you here for a minute before I go back to your wife. Because, she had quite a bit, in terms of children, how did they receive you? How did they receive you? And then how did you receive them as you met them? Talk to our radio listening audience a little bit in regards to that.
Absolutely.
And then we'll go to Arena and get her response, in regards to her children. And then... You also had
the three daughters, too.
So we'll ask her in regards to that. So talk to us a little bit about that. Your first encounter, and they knew that you was interested in their mother. Their mother was interested in you. That something could be developing here.
Sure.
How did they respond to you, Naeem? What do you say?
So keeping in mind, she had 9 of them. So they weren't all the same way, but pretty much overall, I got good feelings from her children. I think I knew one of them before we got married. I already knew one, and no, actually I knew two.
before we even met. I knew two of them. So and the two that I knew, we were, you know, it was pretty good relationship that we had. But I had an official meeting with all of them where they were over to they went to one house. So I had to go down and meet the whole family, including all of the daughters and the daughters' husbands, which I think two of them were imams, or one was an imam. So I had to meet the husbands, but I'm, you know, the way I am, I guess maybe some people would have been kind of withdrawn or intimidated, because there was about 15, 16 people in the house that they were all coming to kind of check me out. But, you know, I was ready to be checked out, but I wasn't giving no interviews because I was checking out too. This gave me an opportunity to really check her family out in one place. So, and I'm pretty comfortable around people, so I didn't have no problem with that. But and it was a good meeting. They fixed dinner, a wonderful dinner, and we really I think everybody felt good about each other. There was one that was just kind of checking me out from afar, and I think this might have been one that was closest to, I don't know if she was closest to Zarina or not, but it took a while that night for us to start communicating.
Okay.
Really, because she was the one who was just saying, now let me see, this brother get ready to come in here and take my mama. So that was what kind of her attitude, I think, was. But it was, you know, it wasn't with a lot of negativity, but I could see she was of concern. Like that.
Yeah,
like
just
that.
You know, and you was able, you're very astute to be able to pick up on that and understand where she was in regards to that. I'm going to really take a real close, in-depth look at this man, you know, because this is my mama. I want to just be able to see for myself. And of course, you know, in terms of being different, all our children are not going to be the same. In that regard. But the good thing that I think I'm hearing you say, and our radio listener is hearing you say, that you began to communicate and you just noticed observation from afar, not getting too close at first, just kind of kind of checking you out as they're checking you out and stuff. So, Zarina,
and I appreciated that too. I just wanted to say I really appreciated that, even her from being afar, because I could see what, you know, I could see what was going on, and it just lets me know that she was of concern about her mom. So that's
rightfully so. Rightfully so. Yeah. So alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. You know, a lot of times our children, they love their parents, and oftentimes, many of them, you can see that protectiveness, and a lot of times more so boys when it comes to their mother, a lot of times girls when it comes to their father, but it could happen with either or, you know, in that regard. And oftentimes, if you're very astute, you can pick up on those type of things, but that is natural love that children have for their parents, and they just want to, you know, to see what they can see in that, and then they'll report back to their parents, this is what I see, you know, So she probably just observing you, you know, probably like you said, there was many people that was there and how you was interacting with them. There was no reservation. You a people's person and all, and you could just freely just be naive, be yourself, and everything and it resonated with all of her children. So, Zarina, you know, when you think about, like, his, you know, his daughters in terms of your first encounter with them, how did they respond to you, and how did you respond to them, you know, the first time that you all met, your impressions, if you would?
Well, one of his daughters I met the night that I went to his birthday dinner with my daughter and my ex-son-in-law, and that's the middle daughter. The other two daughters were not living in California at the time.
Okay.
One was living in Sacramento, No, one was living in New Jersey, and the other one was in Georgia. And so I didn't really get to meet them until we were starting to prepare for our wedding. And then I didn't, the youngest one came. She came to the wedding. So that's when I really met them, was
okay.
when we got married. And they all was very open to me. They, you know, showed a lot of love. And, you know, we've always had a good relationship, you know, since we've been married. So I was welcomed into their father's life by them.
Well, alhamdulillah, and praise be to Allah, and that's so very important, too, to be welcome into the family, you know, no reservations and hesitation, procrastination. I'm going to just hold out because I'm not approving of this,
right.
you know, you're laughing, you know, and everything. But that's vitally important. Zarina, I want to ask you, I'm going to stay with you here for a minute, and so we progress this interview on your marriage narrative. From your perspective, would you see the courtship not being a long, long, long courtship? When did it occur to you? Obviously, there had to be some type of proposal, I'm thinking, coming from him, or was it a mutual thing? I don't want to just make an assumption here. But when was the conversation elevated to the point that he expressed, being Naeem expressed to you, that he wanted you to be in his life and everything? And when that was said, what was your response in regards to that? Was it that? Did you have to think about it a little bit more, or were you ready to answer at that particular point? Share with us.
Well,
sorry.
Yes. When we started talking initially, we pretty much, you know, understood that if we were going to continue to talk, that it was because we were looking to get married. And so it was, you know, it sort of proceeded from that if we're going to continue to talk, then we're getting to know each other. And, you know, the exact date was not, you know, we didn't talk about initially. But
okay.
we did kind of commit to the fact that if we kept talking, that we were going to be married.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. So, I mean, it was inevitable in that regard, and it was just safe to say that the more you talk to each other, the more you liked each other, you know, and it just continued just to grow and blossom. To it was just inevitable in that regard that it's just, as they say in the song, it was just a matter of time. It was just a matter of time.
Right. It was just a matter of time. Yeah.
It's just a matter
that
of time.
Was it.
Yeah.
Right.
So Naeem, was there any dress rehearsal that you said, or just a natural flow of things that nothing formal or anything of that nature? You know, it's about time for us to go ahead and make that move. And everything. Was any thought given
right.
to that?
Well, yeah, I would like to say, I mean, I would like to say in the interim, as we were talking, we did talk, and we had pretty much decided it's not Muslims, especially where we were in our age. It wasn't about boyfriend and girlfriend. I mean, when you're talking to, you know, a Muslim lady and she's talking to a Muslim man, it's about we're talking with the intent of furthering this conversation to see if we can get married. So in the interim, there may be a couple of things that we had to iron out, like she was living up in Sacramento. I was living down in Oakland. I was working down there. That was my job. But she had a job up in Sacramento likewise. So we did have to talk about certain things. Well, you know.
Yes.
Personal things, you know, how the finances were going to be. So we talked about serious things that you had to, you know, talk about. In terms of formal, once we decided on a date, I think that's when the formality started. We had a date, it's a countdown. She has a lot of daughters. You know, they wanted to be a part of it. My daughters did also. So, yeah, the wedding itself, there was some, you know, some preparation for that, which was fun. I mean, you know, I say it was fun, maybe because I didn't do all the things that I do. but I am, you know, I am an artist. So I was definitely a part of trying to be a part of getting the artistic aspect of that wedding together, and that's what I do. So you know, so we had a good time doing it, and it was a pretty good sized wedding. So I guess that's what you were asking. I didn't know.
And did that take place in Oakland there, or was it?
Right, it took place in Oakland.
Was that Master War thing there, or
it was?
Or where?
Actually, the wedding was at Masjid Warthin. The reception was later on, and she had come from a different community up in Sacramento, but she had been a community member of Warthin even before I was there. So, we knew all the community, a lot of the extended community, too. There was a community coming from Sacramento likewise. It was that Masjid Warthin.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, though, this is really, 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 really beautiful. And was it my good brother and friend,
one of
our scholarly learned imams, Imam Fahim Shoaib, performed the nikah?
It was that for sure. Yes, sir. That was Imam Fahim Shoaib.
Yes, right. That's right. So, alhamdulillah, I'm going to stop it right there. Oh, man, this is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I can hear the enthusiasm, in both of you all's voice, even at the age and the stage that you are in your life. I mean, this actually, give hope. To those who may have turned to being hopeless or being on the fence or stuck because they're up in age or what in that regard. But the fire, the desire to have the sacred institution of marriage, I think should never leave the human being, because Allah has put that there in all of us. And the determination and the commitment, the commitment in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. I just think that here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, this is where we try to help in terms of what is marriage, you know, and we can't look at it from Western ideology in all, because if we do that, we lose a great deal in terms of what it is Allah's will and plan is. And we have to realize that this is Allah's property. The sacred institution of marriage belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is all the glory and praise belongs to Him, who is the Most High, who is perfect and above mistakes, errors, and shortcomings. So this is very, very important. So at this time, for those of you, our regular listening audience, who just heard this beautiful marriage narrative by the Majids, in terms of getting together later on in their life, married 7 years, and if you didn't know the information they gave you and thought that these were two very, very young people in our community you know, the enthusiasm that you hear in the voice and everything the relationship that they have is a healthy, harmonious one, and you can hear the jubilation that Allah bless them with each other. It's not only their soulmates, but teammates, workmates, love mates in that regard. You never get too old to actually want that. So I'm asking you, our radio listening audience, and those of you who may tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we have here as an honored guest couple sharing their marriage narrative, Zaria, and also Naeem Majid, sharing their marriage narrative. It's a beautiful marriage narrative that they have. If you have any questions or you have any comments of anything that they may have said, please press 1. And those who, if you're listening by way of the internet, you do have to call in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. I know they'd be glad to hear from you if you just want to give them the greetings and just congratulate them and just wish them well for many, many, many more years together. And that would also be very, very appropriate here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So press 1, got any questions or comments. And I always know that our sister, the priest Abdul Hadi, going to have something to say, because I know how excited she gets when it comes to this sacred institution of marriage. Teresa, talk to me. Any persons in the queue with their hands up?
We do, Brother Mark, and I'm going to get them in, and I'll give my what I want to say to the couple. I'm excited. Okay, so I'm going to go with the callers, Brother Mark.
Okay, let's go with the callers first then. Thank you.
Yes, we have 773-449. Welcome and state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amira Muhammad Shahid. To Brother Naeem, Sister Zahira. Oh, this is so wonderful. I never heard a narrative so heartwarming and so heartfelt as what I'm hearing tonight. It was just so so much caring, so much sharing. You gave so many insights into marriage that it just took marriage to a whole nother level. And I thank Allah for people like you, because you bring hope, especially to the older couples. And when you first came on, you had mentioned about a book that you had wrote relative to the subconscious mind. I would like to know how I can purchase that book, because I know if there's anything in that book, like the way that I heard you all speaking tonight, it's definitely growth there. So is it still on the market or what?
Yes, it's on Amazon, and it's Your Incredible Mind, and it's Zarina Elamine Majid.
Okay, could you repeat the last one, the last part?
Yes, Zarina, the last name.
Spell it for me. Spell your name out for me.
Okay. Zarina is Zarinah.
Mm-hmm.
And the last name is Majid. Is Majied.
Oh.
And the
okay.
Right. And the title of the book is Your Incredible Mind.
Appreciate that. May Allah continue to bless the both of you all, and you are definitely a good example for marriage, the sacredness of marriage. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amira, for calling in. Press 1 as you go out the queue. And so now the priest. Who else do we have at their hands up that may want to ask a question or make a comment to our very honored couple here tonight?
267-258. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Rahima, Sister Rahima from Philadelphia.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. I was just sitting here, and it was like a movie. You know, it was like I was watching, because I love movies. And I just felt like, you know, Islamically, we don't get a chance to, like, you know, film ourselves and put things. But that was just awesome. And I just like to say to Sister Zarina, what a man, you know, what a man he was to be able to say, you know what, I don't care if she got no 9 kids. That don't bother me. I want her. And I thought that was so beautiful. Like, it takes a real man to stand up to a woman who has 9 children and to go meet the children and to stand eye to eye to her sons. And then just to, you know, imagine your beautiful daughters, your 3 gorgeous daughters, and him being able to look at them. And the one that was looking at him from a distance is probably the closest one to him now, because that's just the way it is. And so I'm just saying congratulations, and I pray to Allah Ta'ala that many other brothers become brave enough to be man enough to stand up and say, listen, you know, I want to take that on, and I want to be a part of your life. And I just like to, I'm just like, wow.
Thank you.
This is so beautiful. It's inspirational.
Alhamdulillah.
So congratulations, and may Allah Ta'ala bless y'all from now until eternity. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. Alaikum assalam.
I was just going to say, Brother Mark, go ahead, Brother Naeem, go ahead.
Zarina hasn't told a story, I think, when we first got married. She used to tell it all the time about all of her friends who, I guess, was around her age, who they would be talking, and they said, girl, we ain't trying to get no husband. They said, so when she told them she was getting married, they wanted her to write the book on how she could do that. So I think
and what most of them were saying, it gave them hope. They were very, you know, it's like they felt like, okay, then there is still hope. So
yes.
That was one of the main things that they said, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, that's the reason that you're on here. We want to give hope, especially those who may feel hopeless and everything. So most certainly you're inspiring our radio listening audience. And I want to say the last voice that you heard was Rahima Abdullah and her husband. We actually have confirmed the date, February the 1st. They will be an honored guest here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. So you want to tune in for that beautiful marriage narrative.
Yes.
They'll be approaching 3 years, so y'all won't be on a they won't feel like they at the very low pole, in terms of longevity, because what's most important here is the social dynamic, and also in terms of how Western society sees it. You know, after so amount of years of being on Earth, and maybe haven't been married a couple, 2, 3, 4 more times, that you just give up on it altogether and say, well, I'm done. You know, I'm 1, I'm done. 2, I'm through. 3, I want to be free. 4, no more. 5, put it aside. You know, I could keep going at it like Muhammad Ali in terms of the numbers or what. But the most important thing is that we stay in touch with what God's plan is. That's the most important thing. That's the foundation. And, you know, in your communication tonight, the radio listening audience, both of you all was looking for the same thing, you know, in terms of your relationship with your Lord and Creator. And, of course, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we said that is the foundation. That's the foundation. That's the key. You have already established that before you actually will find that potential mate that has the same thing, have established a relationship. You know, these are the things that we have to understand are key ingredients. All right, the priest of Hadi, any more hands in the air?
Not at this time, Brother Mark.
Oh. Yeah, but so this is your time. I know you got something that you want to say to this very youthful couple that we have here tonight.
Yes, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, oh, my dear hearts, you all are so such gems and sweethearts, you know, and Allah really bless you. And you know, like some of the audience was saying, you know, and she had 9 children, and, you know, and some people would think, you know, she got 9 children, 5, you know how it goes. But you know what? That young man, he was smiling. He was just jumping in his heart that to know that he was going to marry a woman with 5 children. He already got 9 children. Now, you know about history. We're talking about the ones that he's going to marry and them 9. See, because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a hadith about the man that marries the woman with the, you know, the number of children, such blessings.
Yeah.
And so what I'm hearing is that he recognized that right off the jump, and he was just excited, honey. He was very excited. He recognized that off the front. And that's what it was. He said, I will get all this other understanding and things straightened out, but right now I'm looking at what my Lord is giving to me. You know, and he'd be like, alhamdulillah. So I just say, alhamdulillah. I just continue, and I'm loving it that you all are seeing. You're seeing and seeing Allah and feeling him and hearing him and understanding him. You know, and when he say, you know, you're right there. You know what I'm saying? And then you get your blessings of the paradise right now. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. And listen, on Brother Mark, I want to let them know before they leave too. Tune in if you get an opportunity on Saturday evening. Oh, they're right here. Brother Mark, we're going to do something about that then because I'm going to be on AM 360. But I want to let them know. Brother Mark will let you know. If you want me to
oh, okay. Yeah, most certainly when we close out, yeah, you'll get you get that opportunity to let them know, you know, what it is that you do on our sister station, AM 360, a very outstanding talk show host herself.
Right now, I'm so excited for you all. I can feel you and excitement.
Thank you.
We like, let's do this. We're doing this. I'm not going to say it. As Brother Mark say, I could say much more, but I'll stop right there.
Okay. See, so you can see the priest, you can hear that enthusiasm, you know, it's, in her voice and everything. And that's the way the believer should, the enthusiasm, the zeal that we have, the joy that the jubilation that it brings to our hearts because we love for our brother and sister what it is that we love for ourselves. And so it makes us happy. It makes us warm inside to know that Allah has blessed two people to come together. And, you know, with this marriage narrative, at the age and stage that they are in their life. So most certainly I concur, you know, with the sentiments of the radio listening audience in terms of this marriage narrative. So we're going to switch gears here a little bit, Majid, and Zaria, and also Naeem, and just get a little insight from both of you all on the True Love Recipe. Of course, we won't go out, pick out one that we did last 2 weeks and two that we haven't touched on. And remember, these are qualities and characteristics that's in my True Love Recipe. It don't necessarily have to be in yours, but I do think that everybody should have their own personal recipe. If in fact that you were asked, if there was the letter U, qualities and characteristics, would understanding be in your True Love Recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it really, truly, truly be a True Love Recipe? This is something that we went over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to ask you that, and then I'm going to the two that we didn't get to was unique. And then the third one that I ask you, you know, because we'd be up against time here, is unconditional. Unconditional. And with unconditional, we'll have what I call a little fun with it. And you're going to be giving it from your own perspective. Would it be a teaspoon or would it be a tablespoon or half a cup? Or would it be a full cup of unconditional love that we can and would have for each other in your true love recipe? So I want to go to, and we'll start with you, Sister Zaria, in terms of understanding how important is that, and we did an extensive amount of information, education, in terms of understanding how important it actually is in the true love recipe, and then, of course, very important in mind in terms of that, because if we didn't have understanding, could we really truly have true love if two people didn't understand each other, misunderstood each other, no understanding? Would it be your true love recipe, Zaria?
Well, yes. For me, you know, understanding, first I feel, comes from the fact that you're coming from two different experiences and possibly with two different perceptions of the world and of life. And so being able to truly understand the other person, you know, it takes time for us to be able to listen to that person and to observe them and to not judge them. Because, you know, we all come to relationships, and I know very well, with our own baggage and from other experiences, if we've, you know, had other relationships. So being able to just really try to understand someone, I think is most important, because you are two different individuals. And you may know some things about each other before you come together, but then, you know, you really get to know somebody when you live with them, work with them, they say travel. So once you actually start living day to day, you know, it takes time, and it takes patience, and it's just something that is the most important ingredient in a relationship, is to get an understanding and to, you know, it kind of brings into that, you know, in some ways for me, the unconditional love, because, you know, it's to love someone unconditionally is to accept them for who they are. And so, you know, part of that understanding is accepting this person for who they are, not trying to change them, you know, trying to adjust your being with who they are, and hopefully they're getting an understanding of who you are and accepting that, you know. And, of course, you know, if you're truly trying to understand each other, you have to be open to, you know, what they call a constructive criticism. You know, we have to, you know, try not to be defensive when one or the other is trying to, you know, point out something that they see maybe a human imperfection, if you will, you know, it's not an imperfection, but it's just a part of, you know, as you were talking earlier about, as we grow up, our environment has a great influence on us. And some of the behaviors that we may have, we picked up from that environment. And it may not be the best type of behavior. So just being able to
know ourselves, and I know that for me that's a big part of being able to understand. If you understand yourself, really understand yourself, it's usually easier to understand someone else or get to know, you know, understand.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Zaria. Very well said. And I'm going to go to your husband here, Naeem. Understanding being your true love recipe, and if so, Naeem, why? And if not, would it truly be true love without understanding being a part of your true love recipe? Talk to us, Naeem. What'd you say?
Yes, sir. It's an excellent question. First of all, I think I'm just right in parallel somewhat with what Zarina said. The understanding that you're speaking about, I think, comes in time, but it's definitely a necessity. I think that item or that element introduced to the recipe is a must. I think the understanding. But with the understanding that, about understanding that you don't have it all when you first start, and when you end, you won't have it all. But the more you have of it, and the more you understand the need for it and appreciate what it is, I think the more it grows, because that's what it is. I think it's a growth process, and that's what we base the whole marriage on. That's what the marriage is. It's being together, but it's not just being together doing nothing. It's being together and working at understanding, and with that, growth will come. The reality, I think, is that growth will come. The more you effort to understand the other, and while doing that, you understand a little bit more about yourself too. So, and you are one. You have become a couple. So the idea is to make that union, using a U, another U in there, to make that union manifest itself. So, yeah, unconditional. Now, unconditional, you...
Now,
we're going
to go... Hold it. We're going to get to... We don't want to jump.
Okay.
We don't want to jump. We're going to get to that, but we got one other that I want you to know. That's excellent, Naeem. What you gave is excellent, and what Zaria gave actually was excellent when it comes to understanding how important, and so we can see that is and will be a priority to having your true love recipe. So now we're going to look at the word unique as a quality and characteristic in the true love recipe. So we're going to start, and I'm going to put some time parameters here as we up against the clock on the wall, as they say, in terms of looking at unique. It's in my true love recipe. It doesn't necessarily have to be in yours, per se, but if it was in your true love recipe in terms of unique, and just knowing your background as an artist and how you distinguish yourself and all, would uniqueness in terms of be in your true love recipe, Naeem? And if so, why would you want that to be a quality, a characteristic that's prevalent in the true love recipe or relationship that you would have? And if it wasn't there, could it truly be true love without unique being a part of it? I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes to respond to that question in terms of unique or uniqueness being a quality and characteristic. Naeem, what you say?
Yeah, I say yes. I say unique would be in my recipe, and it's what you just said earlier, because of just who I am. An artist, and most of the things that I do, I consider unique. And I would, yes, I would want most of all to accompany that, my wife to feel something in that same area. So, yes, I would. My answer to that would be yes, that's a must for me. And,
okay.
I feel this for my wife, too. Okay?
Very well said. Zaria, would Unique be a part of your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it truly be true love? Can we do without uniqueness being in the true love recipe for you?
Yes, it would be because Allah says He made us different, and it's not for us to dislike each other, but for us to love each other. And so
yeah.
For me, every person is, He made each one of us unique. We don't even have the same fingerprint. So we're all unique, and so, you know, allowing that the person to be who they are, who Allah created them to be. And I know in our relationship, you know, my husband is very creative, and there has been times that he may have an idea, and I'm kind of like, you know, I didn't see his vision. But
yes.
After it was all done, I could see, you know, I could see the beauty in what he was, you know, what he was thinking of or what he was wanting to do. And so now it's helped me to understand that even though I may not see the vision, you know, to be open to the person's vision and knowing that they have, Allah has given them something that they didn't give me, and to appreciate, you know, and to really embrace the uniqueness of each person.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important in a relationship.
Alhamdulillah, very well said. Now, I want to stay with you and let your husband have the last word on here. Getting to the last of the U's, U5, which is unconditional. Unconditional. Is it my true love recipe? With this, I'm going to ask you, would unconditional be your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be true love? And we're going to give you an additional minute. So you could take from, you know, 2.5 to, say, 3.5 minutes to answer this. And in addition to answering this, I'm going to ask you if it would be a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup. And one of the things I just say, you know, not that you have to agree with it, but if it wasn't for being unconditional in terms of love, we probably wouldn't have very much love at all because it's going to be on the condition of. I'll stop with that. And so, Zarina.
I think unconditional is definitely a part of the ingredient. And, you know, mainly, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves us unconditionally. And so we have to love each other the same. Again, that goes into embracing the uniqueness of each person. And, you know, the love, is, you know, our love should not be if you do this or if you do that or if you, you know, it's about loving as Allah loves us. And, you know, we try, you know, some people say, I love you for the sake of Allah. And that's what it has to be, you know. We have to love each other for the sake of Allah and not put conditions on, I'm going to love you if you do this. You know, if you don't do this, I'm not going to love you. That's in a relationship, it can't be that way. It should not be that way with our other, you know, with our children, with our friends, with our, you know. Unconditional love should be a part, I feel, of our Islamic being, you know, our human being, because that's the way, you know, Allah, I believe, wants us to be with one another. Because
so,
he says, you have to love for your brother what you love for yourself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, you're not really a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So that's
yes.
Unconditional love.
No, no, that's very well said, because you're actually coming from an Islamic base and platform in terms of what it is the religion actually teach when it comes in terms of love. And you started with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who's perfect, and showing his mercy and compassion, which Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is part of the true love recipe, the most merciful benefactor, regardless to what the condition of the human being, showing and expressing his love and his mercy and what it is he has given to us. And then even when we fall and become unconscious, how he redeems us with revelation, how he redeems us. You know, as Adam met a word from his Lord, because he slipped, became unconscious of God. This is very, very important. So I just wanted to say that. But before I go to your husband, Naeem, I need you to tell me, so unconditional for you, would it be a teaspoon, tablespoon, half a cup, full cup?
Full cup.
Full cup. Okay. Alhamdulillah. La Wakbar. Naeem, I'm going to give you... Give you 2.5, 3.5 minutes to express yourself in regards to that. Would this unconditional, would this be a part of your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly, truly, truly be true love? And also in that time frame, 2.5 to 3.5 minutes, Naeem, I need you to let us know, would it be a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a half a cup, or a full cup when it comes to unconditional? Talk to us, Naeem.
Okay, right on. I can start off with that full cup. Full cup, definitely a full cup. So let me tell you why. Because now, when you make your commitment, and you've made your commitment, if you're married, you make your commitment. First of all, you make your commitment to Allah. Allah is witnessing what you're saying. Allah and your guests, if you have guests there, and you whoever your relatives, but most of all, you're making commitment to in front of Allah as a witness, and you're making commitment to your spouse, whoever that is. So if you make a commitment to that, that's what the commitment is. The commitment is not like, okay, I'm going to make a commitment, but I'm going to just give you a little bit here. I'm going to give you a half a cup or a teaspoon. No, commitment is just what it says. I'm committed. I'm committed to this, and I'm committed to this based on our love. So I'm that's the answer in a nutshell. Yes, I'm a full cup, and I've made a commitment in front of my friends, relatives, and Allah. So yes, like that.
No, alhamdulillah. No, I didn't mean to start you with the bell, but and I should have said to both of you that whenever you hear the bell on the Course of Marriage Learning Lab, it means simply on the true love recipe that you inadvertently made a connection with one of the other ingredients, which is commitment. That's what you said in your expression in terms of commitment. You know, commitment. Very, very, very important in terms of unconditional. You see, there still has to be commitment. Because when we look at in terms of achievement and accomplishment, you know, next week we'll be on V, and one of the qualities and characteristics is being victorious. We want to be victorious. But victorious is like winning. It's like winning. It's like achieving. It's like accomplishment. And all accomplishments and achievement has to go through the door of commitment. You know, even though you can love someone unconditionally and be committed, but love someone unconditionally, but you have to be committed for being victorious in the relationship. That's very, very important. But to make that connection, there. I want to, boy, I tell you, I want to thank you all. Boy, I tell you, this segment of it in terms of the insight and wisdom that Zaria, that you have given. Yes. And Naeem, that you have given, it has really, you know, it has helped to open up our eyes and given us greater insight in terms of these qualities and characteristics being part of the true love recipe, you know, for to make sure that we can sustain and maintain the sacred institution. Marriage is very, very needed. And we're talking about preservatives. We're not talking about preservatives like we see in Western society that are artificial colors and preservatives and all. But these are natural preservatives that we see. And they can be so very, very helpful. I want to just thank both of you all. You know, the situation, the circumstances.
We definitely feel honored. We definitely feel honored, and I mean, to be on a program like this, and in fact, it's opened us up to, I'm sure we'll be on this program listening in the future, for sure.
Well, I certainly hope so, that both of you all would, and to help to promote the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. We would greatly appreciate it because we believe that this learning lab can help a lot of people, regardless of what your status is, whether you're already married, you're doing good, maybe helps you to do better. Maybe you've been married before, but you're not married now, and you're on the fence. Maybe it helps you to get off the fence. You see, or you just got a desire to want to be married, and you're seeking for more information and education. So we believe that this learning lab is for everybody, and everybody can get and receive something from it. And so we ask that you do bring it to the lab, questions, comments, and if it's not on the interest that you have opportunity to bring it to the lab at gmail.com. You can put that in there. Or you can call me personally. Yes, you can call me personally. You know, my number is not, as you know, Naeem, 314-435-7213. That's 314-435-7213. If you'd like to talk to me personally, I can. I have limited time, but I can and will do that. And we'll take in consideration some futuristic topics here on Courtship and Marriage as we've covered a variety of things in about 8.5 years, you know, courtship and also the sacred institution of marriage. So please take me up on that offer. And I want both of you all to know that IWDM Radio, you're always welcome back. And you have an open door policy here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with me and Khalil Akbar here. And we have enjoyed you immensely, and we thank you and what Allah has blessed you with to be able to share with our radio listening audience. It's truly been a benefit to all that listen in, including myself, in that regard.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and may Allah continue to bless you all with many, many, many more years, the happy institution, the sacred institution of marriage life. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it, our very distinguished, esteemed couple, the Majid, in terms of giving their marriage narrative tonight. It was very insightful and very, very informative, and it's very uplifting. That was one of the qualities and characteristics in the you, very uplifting, and also a very inspiring and giving hope to those who may seem or feel hopeless. in terms of actually having an opportunity to actually be married. I want to say I want to thank the radio listening audience tonight because without you, there would not be IWDM radio. And I want to just extend an apology. I don't know what happened to my co-host tonight. As all of a sudden, we couldn't hear her. We pray a lot that she's okay and that any technical difficulties that she may have, that by next week we'll have it under control. And we're going to have an outstanding couple next week. I'm going to keep it a surprise. I'm going to keep it a surprise, a surprise, a surprise. It's going to be up in the East Coast, and they have agreed to join me here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and they'll be sharing their marriage narrative. And on February the 1st, we already have beloved sister out of the Masjid Allah that will be joining us next. Well, that would be 2 weeks from tonight. That would be February 1st. That will be joining us. So we want to give opportunity to our beloved sister, the priest Abdul Hadi, because she engineers for me here on Thursday. But she is a very distinguished, esteemed host of our sister station, AM360. And that's each and every Saturday you can tune in for her production on Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab. And I'm going to give her an opportunity to let you know what time that comes on. And please to tune in and be supportive of that learning lab. There's so much to learn and gain from it. Teresa Abdul Hadi, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark. I appreciate you so kind. You're such a dear heart and so patient with me because I get excited. When I hear people like this, I'm going to tell you, I get it. Look at here. I'm like, we going to, because I see them, what they're doing. I see them in their display of the Al-Asma Ujna in their life. See, I'm seeing that. And when I saw that young one man, like he said, that young man, he said, she had 9 children. I could feel in his heart. I was thanking Allah for such an opportunity. That's what I felt. And so I do apologize. But, Mark, you know, I get excited with him.
That's okay. You're good.
It was a very, yes, sir, it was a very, very extreme. And all of the programs are now. And the information, oh, I tell you, Brother Mark, it puts it on your mind, you see. That's what it does. That information you're disseminated puts it on one's mind. You know, oh, you had thought about that, but you didn't carry it through, maybe.
Yes.
You see. And so when you have programs of this nature, and for sure, your articulation of just life itself and being able to get in there. I tell you, I really admire you, young man. I really do appreciate you, too. But I'm not going to get off on that, Brother Mark. You know, I just get excited. Those people were so full of energy. They was ready to go. They was like, look at this. We doing this. So come on, baby. Let's go. Come on, let's go. That's what they were saying.
Yes,
no hesitation, as Mark said, and no reservation.
Yes, right. Alhamdulillah. All right, Bob.
So,
yes,
yes,
ma'am.
I come on Saturday evening, everybody, on AM 360 radio station, Islamic radio station, at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab. And inshallah, come share what you're getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's what I heard of them tonight. They would share what they were getting. They were in communication with their Lord. And isn't that what Imam W.D. Muhammad said? To establish your relationship with your Lord. And that way you can communicate. Okay, I'm done, Brother Mark.
Okay, so give them the telephone number. How are they going to get that to AM360?
Oh, did I? Okay, 515-605. 9891.
515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
And we know that's those of you in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it will be 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So whatever time zone you're in, please tune in to Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed host, the priest of Abdul Hadi. And this is not only for new Shahadas, but it is for, like she say, seasoned Shahadas. A lot of great information. Please bring your pens and pads. Take good notes, and she invites you to press 1 on her production and ask questions and make comments, and she'd like to hear from you if what is being said, the information, education that Allah is blessing her to disseminate, she would like to hear from you, and you can do that by pressing 1. That's each and every Saturday. Please tune in for that. We want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As tomorrow is Friday, that means that it is Salat to Jumu'ah Day. Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with an email, Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. It happens each and every Friday, Salat to Jumu'ah Day, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central. It's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, our latest production is the Muslim Book Reading Club. That's right, the Muslim Book Reading Club. And those of us that attend, you understand we have an outstanding book. It's a two-volume book on the Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the Mother of our Nation. This is a two-volume book that once you pick it up, it's hard to put down. We just most recently completed Volume 1. And so last week we had the introduction, the preface of it. And so we begin the reading this Saturday with email, Mikhail Sahir. It happens each and every Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? It was the theme of this last year. It's time to be grateful. They're in the Meadowlands. They're in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. But you can get Words Make People each and every Sunday afternoon with the very distinguished, esteemed Mikhail Sahir at Noor Islamic Center. Words Make People. It happens every Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWTM Radio. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts an outstanding production called ABC, like 1, 2, 3. It's Al-Islam-based conversation. And the conversation is a variety of topics from what to what. And it's based on Al-Islam. So he would love to have you to tune in to his production. It happens each and every Monday evening, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, as he's looking to do more in 2024, as he's expanded his production here on IWDM Radio from the science of your health and you to wealth. So it's the science of your health and wealth. And it's a combination where as you see the correlation between your health and your wealth, you know, there is a relatedness and your wealth and your health. And it's a whole lot of great information. You need your pens and pads for this learning lab, the science of your health and wealth, with the very distinguished thing, Rashid Salam. And that happens each and every Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Wednesday is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen out of Miami, Florida. She joins Rashid Salam and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we had a little of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab tonight. Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah for our brother, Brother Ron, a personal friend of Rashid Salam here in the STL called in. And all, we really appreciate him. And inshallah, maybe we'll establish a relationship and how I can be helpful here in the city of St. Louis for the different things that he actually doing and how we can actually work together in a collaborative way. And that happens each and every Wednesday in terms of correct parenting from an Islamic base and how to reconstruct the family life at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And following that is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside the community, Imam Muhammad. Also, I have sometime guests that's not in the community, and I will take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community, such as last night, as the topic was, who makes Muslim and how is a Muslim made? And we had great participation from our radio listening audience, including the priest of Hadi. They gave some great insight in terms of what it was that they saw in that. And I also made a presentation, so you might want to go back into the archives of IWDM Radio and assess that. I think you will be very well pleased in terms of having even a better understanding who makes Muslim and how Muslim is actually made. And that happens each and every Wednesday starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And we also want you to know that each and every Thursday, as you heard it live, is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with the very distinguished esteemed Khalila Akbar and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as we teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious, sacred institution of marriage. And it's each and every Thursday as we get closer and closer to finishing up the true love recipe. So we do ask that you tune in each and every Thursday. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. It has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many, many years. If you allowed your subscription to lapse, please pick it back up. The Muslim Journal has a new home. We want to give it a new start. We want to support it. If you have a year subscription, let's do more in 2024. Let's double it. The prices are very reasonable. This is our newspaper. And also those who have the wherewithal, think about a family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors, also our community members, our elders, our pioneers, or maybe a local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And as the national voice for the lifetime subscribers, those of you who have the wherewithal, you understand, to become a lifetime subscriber, please consider that. We have different ways that you can become that, payment plans or what. But inshallah, next year, which is this year now in Miami, Florida, would be the 20th anniversary of the Time to Be Grateful. And those who have become lifetime subscribers will be acknowledged. You know, so let's make sure that we do that and make it a legacy for our family and community. And I want to give a special thanks to our radio listeners. Without you, there could not and would not be IWDM Radio. A special thanks to Rashid Salam for sitting in on the first hour, Khalila Akbar. We hope and make dua for her and maybe any technical difficulties that she may have experienced in her family. And also for our beloved sister, the priest Abdul Hadi, is always on the scene, on the spot. We thank her and very indebted to her. And a special, special thanks go to our beloved Majid tonight, Brother Naeem and Zarina Majid tonight for joining us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. They gave excellent, excellent commentary, and we look to have them back in the very near future. And we want to close out by saying, always, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. And we'll leave out with Soul Sister, number one. We know who that is, Sawa El Amin. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.